for this impeachment trial should track with the structure of the Clinton trial. We have a precedent here.
The House is back in session starting on Monday, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, everyone. Wayne Allyn-Roush. Listen carefully to another great offer on one of the most sought-after assets on Earth. The world of political turmoil just gets crazier and crazier. Impeachment hearings, China trade wars, Fed money pumping, which are creating bubbles that could burst any day now. With one exception, gold and silver, which are currently undervalued and have excellent growth potential in 2020. So here's another irresistible offer to help you cash in on asset protection while you still can. My sponsor, Swiss America, is willing to ship my listeners another popular silver coin, the U.S. Peace Dollar, for just $16.50 each delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling 800-289-2646. Write it down. 800-289-2646. Get your supply of silver U.S. Peace Dollars for just $16.50 each delivered. 800-289-2646 or go to SwissAmerica.com.
As we head into 2020, some cities are touting their decrease in violent crime rates. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
As a new year begins, many cities are able to tout that the violent crime rate has been dropping in recent years, but in some cities, it's going in the other direction. Chicago and Baltimore are coming to mind, but the Indianapolis Fraternal Order of Police are speaking out about violence in that city. The president, Rick Snyder, is saying that although homicides decreased slightly from 2018 to 2019, it does not mean that the violence is on the decline.
And not only is it not declining, it is rapidly surging.
One person is dead and at least three others are injured following a stabbing attack in Austin, Texas. The Austin Travis County Emergency Management Services tweeted the news of the death and wrote that others were hospitalized. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
In a rare and candid interview, Jeopardy! Host Alex Trebek is opening up about what it's like to have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Trebek was diagnosed with the aggressive cancer in March and has been undergoing chemotherapy treatment since then.
As soon as the doctor came back and mentioned the pancreas, I said, oh.
Okay, we're on, and just all the sports guys are here today. I guess it's playoff time. Just to tell you about the weather, about a 70% chance of rain tonight. That's because it's going to be about 39 degrees, so it's not going to be that cold. Tomorrow, 80% chance of rain. By Saturday night, again, a 60% chance rain likely. Into Sunday, there's a chance of rain in the morning and then partly sunny. However, depending on temperature on Sunday night, we're either going to have rain and snow, or then later probably snow, 30% chance of snow, down to about 29 degrees. But who cares? We're all going to be watching football.
And we are live from the studios of the Herndon County Chamber of Commerce, located in Flemington, New Jersey, and broadcast across the world, including places like Connecticut, Ohio, and what have you, across the country.
My grandson down in Nashville.
In Nashville, Tennessee, of course, of course. It is the Sports Guy, starring the venerable matrimonial attorney Pat Schmitz, the incomparable commercial lawyer Bill Wolfson, and me, the humble tax attorney, John Manfreda.
You've been very taxing lately, John.
Yes, I have, and all my friends will attest to that for sure, Bill.
Yeah, I told you to bring a friend if you had one.
That, you know, I wouldn't join any club if they would have me, Bill.
I don't blame them.
Although this is a sports show, you know now, You no longer have to start taking your IRA out at 70 and a half. It's going to be 72.
Well, that's
guess
good
what?
To know.
You can work longer and save your pennies.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes.
And hopefully the market will continue to climb.
Well, Bill, today is a special day. It's wild card weekend. And what's interesting, folks, is I have no stake in this thing because I'm a fan of the floundering New York football Giants who are in search of a coach and probably should be in search of a general manager.
I agree.
And
I don't know why they kept Gettleman other than he managed to draft the right quarterback in Jones.
Well, we'll see what happens there. However, the point being that Pat has a big stake in this with the Packers, and Bill has a stake in this with the Eagles. And folks, you have four great games this weekend, and I'm going to lead it off with Bill talking about the chances of the Philadelphia Eagles upsetting the Seattle Seahawks. And before I go on, what's interesting, Bill, and I'd like you to explain this, the Seahawks are a 1.5% favorite. Yet, under the power index, the Eagles have a 60% chance of winning. How do you harmonize those figures? Hidden figures, folks.
Well, you know, I've seen those figures, and you know.
Yeah, you're a good. It figures, Bill. It really does.
I figured that you'd be figuring on that.
I occasionally figure.
Yeah, well, instead of figuring around, we're figuring on that. But, you know, the NFC is a conference, is a division in the conference. The East is a division in the conference that nobody really wanted to win. They all worked hard at not.
Take my conference, please.
Take my conference championship,
in fact,
please.
What's the Eagles' record compared to the Seahawks' record? I mean, it is pretty.
I believe the Eagles are 9-7, and the Hawks are 10-6 or 11-5. 11-5, I think.
10-6.
Yeah, I think they're 11-5. They did lose to San Francisco.
I thought they had a better record than that.
No.
You know, remember.
No, in fact, but the one good thing, Bill, going in the Eagles' favor, they were 5-7.
They
That's
were
9-7.
No, they were 5-7. And they won 4 in a row. So arguably, they have momentum going into this game.
Right. Now, remember, 5-7 result was the embarrassing loss to the Miami Dolphins, who had won one other game at that time. I think it was against my New York Jets.
Yeah, but look who they won against most recently.
Oh,
I mean,
Cowboys.
That was incredible that they won against the Patriots.
Yep.
But I
think the Patriots had rested players. But anyway, Bill, to the game. Give us your analysis.
Wait, did you say arrested players?
I think they had rested players, although
you're saying
I think
rested
as in sat them down.
Okay.
No doubt some of them warranted arresting, but maybe that's the owner. I keep getting them confused.
Here's the thing. The Eagles seem to be finding diamonds in the rough. Look at Greg Ward. This is a team that is not healthy. If they're going to exceed expectations, then look who they're missing. Alshon Jeffrey, Ron Darby, well, forget about him. Darryl Sproles, done for the season. Brandon Brooks, an excellent star guard, now on the injured reserve again. So who's going to suit up? I mean, besides audience participation, we've got Lane Johnson, who, if he plays, Wentz is protected on the blind side. Running back Miles Sanders, who left with an ankle sprain in the fourth quarter, is still questionable. Zach Ertz has a broken rib and a lacerated spleen, but insists on playing. Wide receiver DeSean Jackson is eligible to return, but not this week if they advance to the division round. Now, remember, DeSean Jackson, great athlete, real upside player. He can really get run under a ball and catch it. Eagles have been a better team than their record has indicated. But remember, the Eagles have succeeded best on third down. If you look at the Eagles moving the ball successfully, their best record in moving the ball or preventing and forcing a fourth down is on third down, whether they're on offense or defense. It's incredible.
That's what all teams want to be best at.
Right.
Is third down.
Defense. Of course. Third down efficiency is a good barometer.
That is a great barometer.
But, you know, they rank fourth in the NFL in third down on both offense and defense. And on offense, they're 15th in the league in converting to a new set of downs on first down. 25th in the league in getting a first down when they're at second down, and 4th in the league on third down when they're on offense. So what does that tell you? That means that the defensive backs are backing up, and they're allowing the underneaths, and either with a run or a pass, the Eagles are somehow managing to convert. So if you've got a 3rd and 7, watch out.
Well,
the second thing that I think is important here is the Eagles' third down defense has been very stingy.
Well, the Eagles are very good against the run, Bill.
Exactly.
I think the one major factor in their favor, if I have to give Seattle the Eagles an advantage over Seattle, is the Philadelphia middle defense, because the soft part of the Seahawks' offensive line is in the middle. There's been injuries there. And the one place they are vulnerable is straight up the middle against Russell Wilson, who, as you know, is not a big quarterback. So if you get guys coming straight up in a bull rush with their hands up, I think Russell Wilson is going to struggle a bit there. However, his strength is rolling out, and I think you're going to see design plays with rollouts left and right to try to tire out the Philly rush.
But
remember, the corner rushes, the edge rushers for the Eagles are banged up.
Right. So, again, your best avenue is straight up the middle.
But if you, when I watched that San Francisco-Seattle game, I mean, they were both phenomenal teams. I mean, it didn't look to me like anyone else would be able to beat either one of them. I mean, I shouldn't say that. But certainly I was trying to gauge what the Packers would do against them. And I don't know. I think that the Eagles have a big challenge. I mean, because the Seahawks I thought they were phenomenal. I thought either team could have won that game. And they were both so much better than any of the NFC or the East teams, I thought.
Well, remember also, the Eagles, when they lost, except for a couple of blowouts, one to Dallas early, they would lose by a touchdown or less. And to me, that's a close game. It's anybody's game. Given the injuries, given how banged up they are, and the fact that you've had some decent people step up, plus Lane Johnson's healthy, Fletcher Cox, although they were talking today that he was hurt. They said he was still going to play. So the Eagle defense is probably going to be all right. Where the Eagles really have a weakness is at the cornerback position.
But I think the corners are healthy, and if, again, as you know, the best pass defense is a strong pass rush. Because if you limit the time the quarterback has to throw, it makes your corners look good.
Well, you also have another problem here. Jalen Mills, to me, is okay. He's just an average cornerback. Ron Darby, he's a pro. He tries. Doesn't have the kind of speed I'd like to see. He's certainly an NFL player, but he's certainly not up there in the pantheon. On the other hand, let's look at the Seahawks for a few moments. Now, I'm not that familiar with the Seahawks and their offense or their defense, but Russell Wilson, no doubt about it, great quarterback.
He really
not
is.
Big.
I think Russell Wilson. Excuse me, is really one of the most consistent quarterbacks. And, I've been watching him since he played for the University of Wisconsin. I hate to talk about the University of Wisconsin because we watched the Rose Bowl.
I watched the Rose Bowl. I lost by a point.
Wasn't going to mention that,
don't
Pat.
Tell me you lose by 1 point. It
that was a heartbreaking loss.
It was a horrible loss. I mean, it was just it was unbelievable.
But they turned the ball over four times, and they only lost by 1 point. So they should have won that game.
They really should have. And it was very interesting to see how. That especially that one time when they were able to bat that ball out from Taylor. I mean, he's so consistent, and the fact that he lost that ball was really surprising. And, of course, we could always say they would have won if they hadn't missed the one field goal.
Of course.
But it's always so, you know. Those
but it's always
places.
Something like that.
You know, it was, to me, the most exciting play in that game.
What is that, Bill?
We saw Wisconsin catch a kickoff after the
Oregon touchdown.
That run back was phenomenal. 95-yard
run 90, back.
Was it 94
I think
or 95?
It was 95 yards.
And you know how he managed not to step out of bounds. And then after the last tackler, I saw him give another 5 or 6 feet away from the sideline.
Right.
I couldn't believe.
Well, incredible play.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed, not only that run, but a few others, is it's almost as if these guys are taking ballet lessons.
They have incredible body control.
They have incredible body control, as you said, and almost are running on their tiptoes.
You're right.
They look
right.
like
You're
running
right.
on their tiptoes.
You're right.
So that they're not going out of bounds. But that
Who was it, Pat? Was it Reggie White? Remember the commercial years ago where they actually had them as ballerinas,
right.
and it was NFL defensive linemen.
Right.
I think it was Reggie White.
Oh,
they
that
were
was
doing pliés.
Correct. Yeah. I seem to remember that. You know.
But you know, there's something very interesting about the Seahawks. They went 9-2 in games decided by a touchdown or less. So, and likewise, the Eagles. Also were very good in the close games.
Yeah, but the Seahawks were in a much better division. I'm sorry.
No doubt about that.
I mean,
look, like I said in my opening statement, nobody wanted to win the NFC, so they let Philadelphia have it.
So, Bill, what if you have to summarize this before we go to a break, how do you see this game? I will tell you my prediction. I think the Eagles jump out to a lead here. It wouldn't shock me if they go up 14-3, 17-7. I see this as an Eagle onslaught coming up with that feel, with the home crowd. I see they're going to overrun Seattle initially. And then I see in the fourth quarter Seattle coming back. When the Eagles defense is tired, chasing around Wilson and so forth, I see them coming back, and I see this game coming down to a final play.
Well,
and I see
you're looking,
unfortunately, and I'll explain why in a moment, when I said I don't have a stake in the game, that's not entirely correct. I see the game coming down to a play, either a two-point conversion or a field goal, something like that. Seattle misses it, and somehow the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, dodge a cannonball like they did in Green Bay, and they've done consistently, somehow win the games you don't expect them to win, because I believe on paper Seattle was the superior team and should win this game, but the travel, the crowd, and I think that playing on the grass in Philly is going to help. Now, the explanation. I just realized the other day when I was going through my Las Vegas papers and my Nashville papers, I put a bet on the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl last March when I made my Super Bowl futures bet. I mean, I put a bet on a couple of teams, but the only one I'm alive with, I wish I had done Baltimore. They were 45-1.
Right.
But the Seahawks were, I think, 15-1, and I put some money on them. So I'm rooting for the Seahawks to win this game, Bill.
But that's how I see it.
I think the Eagles will steal this game.
My grandkids are already talking about if the Eagles win this game, and doesn't But I think New Orleans also has to lose, and then the Eagles will play the Packers next weekend. I think that's the deal, and of course they're really hoping that that happens because the Eagles have been fairly successful against the Packers.
Well, remember, the Eagles beat the Packers already once this year,
yes,
but we're not there yet. And remember something, Carson Wentz has had a problem holding on to the ball.
Wet weather is not going to be kind to him tomorrow.
No. And second, well, it's on Sunday.
But it's not going to be—it's not going to be kind on Sunday.
Oh, they play Sunday
at 4:00.
Well, that's to Philly's advantage.
Yeah, it's to Philly's advantage.
Well, actually, Sunday afternoon though is supposed to be.
It's supposed to clear.
Sunny. Yeah, it's supposed
clear
to be
and
partly
sunny.
So clear at only about 40 degrees.
Yeah.
So that should be a fairly. Nice afternoon, actually.
Right. Remember also that if he can hang on to the ball and not fumble, he's very good at taking off up the middle, and he's very good at those end-arounds. Additionally, Peterson is coaching guys who started out on his practice squad, and he's managed with his staff to get them playing NFL caliber.
Okay, let's take a short break, and then we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@100-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back. It's
hey, let's
guys.
Talk some football, gang. Pat, I wanted to ask, you know, there's a game that's going to sneak by everybody, Buffalo Bills and Houston Texans, 4:30 Saturday. I'm hoping to be there in front of my TV to watch that game because that game interests me. I like Josh Allen, and I like Deshaun Watson, both good quarterbacks. They both can run the ball. They were both top rushing quarterbacks this year. Anybody have a take on that game?
Well, my preliminary take is that Houston has a very good offense. They're supposed to get J.J. Watt back on defense. How effective he's going to be, I don't know. The Buffalo defense is strong, and this game is being played in Houston, is it not? I think it's a tall order, I think, for the Bills and for the young Josh Allen to go into Houston and steal that. But I think Allen has a long way to go. He's not an accurate quarterback. They had a good year, but they pretty much have ridden their defense with that. I think I give a big edge to Houston and Deshaun Watson.
Well, I'm just surprised that Buffalo made it to the playoffs.
They've been slowly getting better the last couple of years. They've had a couple of good drafts.
Oh, who was my favorite broadcaster on Meet the Press who was such a Buffalo fan? Oh, come on. You've got to remember. Died early. Anyway.
Pat, not up in my Meet the Press.
He was such a Buffalo fan that you had to... It was kind of like...
Really had a cardiac when they lost four Super Bowls in a row.
Yes, he did. But the fact that they went to four Super Bowls was pretty amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, did you ever see the X-Files episode where they explain everything from the JFK assassination on down? And during the recitation by the smoking man, he dictates at a meeting all these things that are going to happen, right? And in it, he says, the Buffalo Bills will not win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That was in the X-Files, yeah.
Ooh, wow. I'm getting chills just thinking about that.
But one of my favorite shows.
While I'm thinking about it and while the goosebumps are...
Well, I get goosebumps over Jillian Anderson, but...
What about the Tennessee Titans?
But that comes as a big shock to you, right, Pat?
Oh, what about the Titans at the Pates? Is this the end of the Pates? I think the Pates go ripping through the Titans like a buzzsaw. What do you think?
I think that the Titans are coached by an expatriate who will prepare them for the onslaught that is the Patriots' playoff push. Going to be a very, very tough assignment for Tennessee because... They're going on the road, hostile crowd, and you got Tom Brady, who admittedly is declining. And this, I believe, will be his last run. I think that team, the offensive line, has been mediocre, and he's taken a lot of hits this year. Their wide receivers are at best average. I think the Patriots will squeeze by this game, Bill. I don't see them dominating the Titans. The Titans have a tough defense. I think it'll be a close game, and if the over-under, I think it's around low 40s, I would take the under in this game.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me because I don't think the Titans are... even belong on the same field as the Pates. And I am convinced that this is not going to be an interesting game after the first quarter.
Well, you might be right. It is Saturday night. It'll be wet in Foxborough, so you could argue that a turnover here and there could make the difference.
Could be snow in Foxborough.
But I think the Titans have at least a puncher's chance to win this game.
Well, you know what? If it had to do with who all the fans around the country were rooting for.
Oh, absolutely, Tennessee.
The Titans would win.
Without a question, Tennessee would win.
Everybody hates the Patriots except the people who live around Boston. I get that.
The fan base is a little bit bigger than that. And I'm reviled for being such a traitor to actually be a Giants fan. But I've been a Giants fan since I was about 3 years old. Because they were blue, and my favorite color was blue. And growing up, the Patriots were terrible.
Good reason. I thought you would have been a Dallas Cowboy fan because of cheerleaders.
Back when you were hated Dandy Don in those days.
The color blue was more important than...
The color blue was more important than the cheerleaders. That's not necessarily the case today, Pat.
I recognize that.
Well, you know, everybody thinks New England is going to be the winner by 73%, and they're going to win by more than 8 points. So that, to me...
Well, you know what it is? They are one of the best teams at winning close games. They make good decisions, and they seem to... You know how they say luck is the residue of hard work?
Oh, and they are so lucky.
They are very lucky, but I think they do work hard. And what bothers me, the reason I'm not a Patriots fan, aside from my Giant roots, is the fact that despite how good they are, they still find it necessary to push the envelope. Well, I will not use the word cheat. I will say push the envelope. I find that despicable.
I will use the word cheat.
Let's go south.
By the way, we all know Tom Brady has moved to Greenwich, Connecticut, correct?
I know he bought a house there.
Yeah, well, as I understand it, as soon as this season is over, perhaps as early as Saturday night, they will be moving to Greenwich. And I guess it's putting Greenwich on the map. And a lot of people are reading into it that he's going to retire because he bought this big estate in Greenwich. So be interesting to see what happens there.
You can't say he bought it. Probably his wife, who earns more money than he does, also had something to do with that.
I don't think Tom's bank account is anything to sneeze at either, but you may be right.
Well,
I think that's all a business arrangement, Pat. They all know at any given time, come on, nobody knows that better than you, family law attorney Pat Schmitz. Of course, they probably contributed 50-50, and they have it covered in their agreements.
But, you know, let's keep the game on the field, folks. I want to talk about those hated Vikings at the New England Saints. Is this going to be a drubbing, or is this going to be a battle, Pat? You hate the Vikings more than anyone else I know.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely...
Do you think the Saints are giving them a thumping, like some of our former coaches would say?
This game is in New Orleans, correct?
It's in New Orleans. It's a 1 o'clock Sunday game, so it's like the best time to watch a football game down south.
You know what? And of course, you all know the genesis for my hatred for the Minnesota Vikings, despite the fact that my good friend Lou is a diehard Vikings fan. But you all know the genesis for that, and that is the Herschel Walker trade.
You don't like the color purple?
It's the Herschel Walker trade.
That
gave Dallas 3 Super Bowls. Yeah. Thank you very much. But aside from that, it was the Minnesota Vikings on defense that borne the Hail Mary pass.
Right.
With
the famous purple people eaters, one of whom became a...
Wait a minute, they
Supreme
didn't
Court
do the
justice.
Hail Mary pass for...
The Vikings were on defense against the Dallas Cowboys, okay? And Roger Staubach, with seconds to go, heaved the ball by the goal line. Two Vikings jumped up, bumped heads, fell down, and the Cowboys receiver just stood there as the ball fell into his hands, and he fell into the end zone to win the game, and that was the Hail Mary pass. And, of course, it was then reincarnated in Miami when Doug Flutie had his Hail Flutie pass against the Miami Hurricanes for the BC Eagles back in 1983. Okay. So,
okay, well, that's fascinating, but let's go to two.
I see Bill is impressed.
But we digress. Well, let's go to 2020.
But you
Let
know,
me ask
back
you something.
Then, my thing is there couldn't have been a classier quarterback at that time than the Dallas quarterback.
Oh, Staubach?
Staubach.
He was a classy guy.
He was a classy guy. Well, in fact, he's one of the, the 10 best quarterbacks in the last 100 years? I think he's been named as one of the
I think he is in the
to
top
take
10.
Your word for that.
I think he is, yeah. And certainly if you throw character in it, right, he's in the top two or three.
Yeah, but I think Brett Favre is also in there, and I don't think...
Yeah, well, if you throw character in it, then Favre is out of the top 10. Right.
But so much
as
for
much
that.
As much as I loved him.
But let's talk about this. Kirk Cousins finally is healthy and finally has healthy people to throw to. You think they can give the Saints a match? How will they match
I
up?
I hope
against?
Not. I just
you want
think,
this game to be over early.
Well, you know, I just think that... I'm sorry. I'm not objective when it comes to the Vikings. What can I say? Well, although I did like Peterson, and I was...
And he had a good year.
He had a very good year. Well, actually, believe it or not, I really had hoped that the Packers would pick up Peterson. I mean, I know he was on his supposedly declining, but I knew he'd have at least one, two, or three more good years. And I don't know... That would, to me, have been a good move. I mean, the Packers made some pretty dumb moves. I agree, getting rid of Clay Matthews.
I think Matthews chose not to resign. I think they would have liked to have resigned him. When players leave teams, Pat, unless they take less money to go elsewhere, I think you have to assume that they just wanted to change the scenery.
Well, and I think he wanted to go back to California.
I think that's number one. I think also he was less than enthusiastic about the new coach.
Oh, see, now, I would have thought every Packer on the team would have been glad to get rid of McCarthy.
Well, but that's true. But I think the new coach is surprisingly good.
Oh, yes. And, you know, it would really be ironic if he was hired by the Giants, because you know who ended up going to Green Bay because he really wanted to be a Giants coach. You do know the most famous coach in Packer history.
Oh, Lombardi.
Lombardi. So didn't Tom Landry. They were all on the Giants staff.
Right.
There was no room, and they picked out Sherman, and Sherman did win, you know, some titles. But they had to move on.
Yeah, but the real question back then was it that they didn't pick Lombardi because he was an Italian Catholic?
Well, but the Maras were Italian Catholics. They're Irish-Italian Catholics. Right. So I don't think that's the reason.
Well, there was a lot of question whether they wanted an Italian coach, but okay.
I mean, the Giants' history, you know, from Andy Robustelli on down, they are very Italian Catholic. Italian-Irish... Or Irish Italian, Irish Italian, I guess. Well, the Maras actually are Irish. That's true, but there's an Italian heritage there as well. Irish Italian Catholic.
I only heard.
Okay,
about
folks,
Irish,
let me ask
anyway.
A question.
Wellington Mara, as I understand it, was a staunch Catholic.
A question: what do we owe the tremendous development and success of the Baltimore Ravens to? I am fascinated by this team now. They have always been kind of so-so. Pittsburgh would win. Ravens would win. They go back and forth. It was a great rivalry. Suddenly, the Ravens have blossomed as a football team. You guys follow them.
Well, who's their quarterback?
Take and let's hear
who's their quarterback?
Look at that.
And, you know, it took a lot of guts to get rid of the quarterback they had, who had won a Super Bowl, and take a chance on this kid.
Yeah.
It took a lot of guts.
And you know, it's paid off. It's a heck of a gamble that they took. And remember, since week 7, they're 10-0. So they are greased and really ready to kick some tail. I think,
and they have not only beaten New England, they beat New England soundly.
Yeah, I think this is a Super Bowl champion team.
They're certainly a Super Bowl caliber champion championship team. The defense is good enough. That offense is, I mean, they're scoring 40 points.
Right.
They're scoring 40 points against good teams.
That's a very good point, Bill.
You know,
very well pointed out.
Look, they won by 20 points against the Pats, the Seahawks, the Texans, the Rams, and the Bills. Yeah, they needed a last-minute field goal to beat the Niners. But other than that, they've been red hot. And, you know, as great as Lamar Jackson is, he's magical. Ravens have a tremendous defense. Really have to look at how strong they play on defense, how few yards they're giving up, how many times they're forcing teams to go three and out. They've had an amazing season. I think this is the team that's caught the lightning in the
bottle. I think they're.
I think barring an injury or an unfortunate, untimely turnover, I think it'll be very difficult to stop the Ravens.
Well, who did Lamar Jackson play with in college? I mean, I don't remember hearing.
Lamar Jackson, wasn't he LSU?
I thought he was at LSU.
Okay.
Yeah. That,
well, so
that
then he played
right.
for a major.
Oh, he played for major. The big rap on him was that he was not a good drop-back quarterback. But what they did is they revamped the Ravens' offense to take advantage of his talents. The run and shoot, basically it's a run and shoot offense.
Yep.
But, I mean, this kid, when you see him take a snap and make a few steps to his fake his right, go back to his left, and there's two or three defenders close to each other, he can shoot that gap, and if this 18 inches, he's gone.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You haven't seen anything since Michael Vick with him. As good as Russell Wilson is, this kid is a better Michael Vick.
You know, it's interesting that you say that.
Of course it's interesting, Bill. I said it.
Of course. I find Lamar Thomas exciting to watch. He's got a great arm. He seems to have...
Are you talking about Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson, pardon me.
Okay. No, I was just trying to think of who Lamar Thomas was. Sorry.
Sorry, I misspoke.
No.
Friday afternoon.
I didn't mean to correct you.
Bill, you're entitled.
I was just trying to figure out.
We give him a pass.
Eagles fan.
Give him a pass, Pat.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't have corrected you on the air, except that I was trying to think, who's Thomas? Got it.
Lamar Jackson, great football sense for such a young player. I watched the game against Pittsburgh when they had the Steelers at home, and it was astonishing the way he was reading. You'd watch his looks and watch his helmet, watch his head. His helmet doesn't move, but his eyes are moving, and it's throwing off the Steelers defense, which has not been a bad defense all year. But he was making those looks, giving those looks, and he took those reads on a number of those receivers. And then suddenly he would dump the ball off to a tight end or a running back. Quite honestly, the Steelers defense was flummoxed. He went and delivered balls to guys who had nobody around them for 5 yards. Plenty of time to catch, and the ball was right in their hands. This guy's a great quarterback.
Well, and what it shows is if people can't follow him, the defenders are having a harder time, you know, figuring out where he's going to throw.
He's got incredible speed and reflexes and a good arm. You know, when you have that kind of speed and a good arm, you're right. It neutralizes, it certainly freezes the linebackers. What are they going to do? They want to come up to have some kind of a shot to knock him out of bounds. But if you take a step up, he's got the arm strength to put it past you.
And that's interesting because I saw him throw a ball. It must have been 40 yards. And it
was on a rope.
On a rope. It was perfectly thrown.
Yeah.
And the receiver literally ran under it, put his hands out, looked up, and there was the ball.
Yeah. The one concern that we've talked about since early in the season when he emerged as a star is what we've seen happen to RG3 and other running quarterbacks. Michael Vick, too, always injured. He has managed to stay injury-free. You saw what happened to Mahomes. He had a severe knee injury. He was very fortunate to make it back. You get great defenses with lateral pursuit who can hit these guys going out of bounds, and you got to wonder, does it make sense? A great career in front of him could be wasted by, you know, one bad hit taking out his knees. And again, RG3, Teddy Bridgewater, these were all kids who could run. And you may be able to run away from a 350-pound defensive lineman, but, you know, a 280-pound linebacker can catch you, turn in the corner, and hit you with your weight on that right leg, and your knee is spaghetti. So it's very dangerous, and we can only hope and pray that the kid stays healthy to show us what he can do. And if he can win with those talents, you know, more power to him.
Well, you know, you mentioned Mahomes, and one of my favorite coaches, Andy Reid. You think the Chiefs are equal to the Ravens? Because I can see this is a matchup if somehow the Titans beat the Patriots.
It's very possible you would have a Ravens-Chiefs AFC championship game.
I would love to see that.
I think that would be probably the network's top, despite the attraction for New England. I think Kansas City at Baltimore would be by far the most exciting game. The two best young quarterbacks in football. To answer Bill's question, I think the Chiefs on defense would really struggle to stop the Ravens off. I'd have to give the Ravens a substantial percentage winning probability in that.
I'm compelled to agree with you because my admiration for how well the Ravens have played this year against good teams, winning records, and still winning by and beating them by 15, 20, 25 points. I think this is a football team that's got the magic fairy dust sprinkled on it.
I think you may very well be right, Bill. Look at the Rams last year. They cut like a hot knife through butter until they got to the Patriots.
Right.
You know, that's why they play the games.
Yeah.
And it'll always will be.
And I always like Andy Reid. I mean, I think the question here is,
wasn't he a Packer coach for a while? Assistant coach.
He was. But what...
Under Mike Holmgren.
Right. What about the coaching? And I know nothing about the Ravens coach. So how do you...
Jim Harbaugh?
Well, you know, I
know. As a Wisconsin native, you don't want to hear about Michigan guys.
But that's the other Harbaugh.
The other Harbaugh, that's true.
Yeah, that's a jerky one. No, I do know a little bit about Hubbub, but they're both really good coaches. Is that going to make a difference? I mean, do you think one of them will be able to figure out the other team better than?
Well, of course, we are projecting an AFC final with Kansas City and Baltimore. But hypothetically speaking, I would probably give that edge to Harbaugh simply because he's more innovative, and that has been the trademark of the Ravens offense this year. You know, yeah, they're talented, Bill, they're fast, but one of the reasons they've been so successful is because they've incorporated new schemes. They have plays that defenses are getting caught flat-footed. Innovation is something that, you know, by next year, our defensive coordinators may have figured it out. But right now, they're ahead of the curve.
Well, and that reminds me of that San Francisco game with Kaepernick.
Correct.
Because
the one game it worked.
It really worked because
yep, they destroyed the Packers in that game.
But the Packers didn't know how to deal with it.
No, it was brilliant coaching. It was absolutely brilliant.
You know what's very interesting to me? The Ravens will go for it on a 4th-and-3.
Well, nobody goes for it in 4th down more than Doug Peterson and the Eagles.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I got sensitized to that watching the Eagles, and then
let me tell you something. They better be real careful and think once more before they go 4th down against the Seattle Seahawks.
That's right.
With that banged-up offensive line, he's had the line to do it the last 3 years, but exactly. They better think twice about that now.
Exactly.
Well, you know what
was
amazing?
The Ravens have now had, 6 4th-down conversions in the last month. It's very interesting.
Wow. Well, when you got a weapon like Lamar Jackson and you have to account for him, if you put 9 men in the box and he takes the snap and fakes and goes, he's going to beat everybody in the corner and he's gone.
He's going to get 3 or 4 yards.
He may go all the way.
That's
if you pack the box, you've got nobody in the secondary to stop him.
That's what surprised me about the Rose Bowl. How many times they went on 4th down? I mean,
yes.
I didn't count it, but I mean, it was more than I ever remember in any game.
And I think you see that in the major bowl games. There's so much at stake, and it ramps up the chances they take. I really believe that.
Yeah, speaking of bowl games, everybody getting excited about LSU and Clemson, the Battle of the Tigers.
That's right. They're both Tigers. That's right.
I'm intrigued. Now, I've always liked LSU. I always thought that they were a neat school, good tradition, great football team, and I like Southern football, as you know. Clemson Tigers, certainly not a bunch of slouches either. I think the College Bowl National Championship got the two right teams this year.
I think you're right, Bill.
So you like Southern football, so you like it when they pay the players, right?
No, I like it when the players – I like to see the players get paid more. I don't know whether they pay them or not.
And they don't have to go to classes. In other words, they come out of college, and unless they go on to the NFL, you know, they don't even have a college education.
I didn't say that.
I did.
I know you did. But here's the interesting thing.
We're getting down and dirty here. But
have you just seen how the state of California has said that the NCAA must change its rules and pay these guys for the use of their images and pay them something? And you
just like the state of California to spend somebody else's money, right?
Well, I've always thought, you know, they give them a college education, but a lot of these people just don't take advantage of it. They turn pro after their second or third year or whatever it is. And college education has value, but being on the box of Madden NCAA football or having your image in there, the NCAA pulls a ton of money out of that and out of television and everything else. Why shouldn't these people be paid for their labor? I mean, they could go to college anywhere if they were really interested in getting an education. Think about that. I like some.
Well, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but I mean, at this point, since most of them don't, and the kids from Wisconsin got into trouble even for taking shoes at one point.
I think that's crazy.
I don't know. I think the Southern schools. I'm not a big fan of Southern football. Sorry. I mean, the Big Ten.
From an education point of view, arguably, all of these schools have smart kids, great athletes. They do a good job in general. It's tough when you hear about the unfortunate stories, the kids that don't make it who don't have an education either. And that, I think, is more important than trying to get, you know, some of these kids compensated for using their image and so forth. You know, take care of the kids at the bottom of the roster.
Make sure that they can, if they don't graduate with their class, that they can come back at any time.
Most schools do allow that. If you finish, if you stay the 4 years and want to finish the degree, most schools will allow that.
But even if you don't stay the 4 years, even if you're, For example, I'm really interested in trying to see where Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, he's going to go out this year. He's a finishing his
junior year. Yep. I mean, he set an all-time record. He's got very, very...
2 years, 2,000. I think he just missed that 2,000-yard...
Yeah, he was like 2 yards short or something.
He was. It was really a shame.
But what a great kid.
And from New Jersey, of course, from Salem.
South Jersey does produce a great number of excellent football players.
Yeah. I was happy to see that his parents were able to be at the game because...
they showed him, yeah.
He actually had... what did they do when they said that... He said he was going to go to Rutgers, you know.
No kidding.
Yeah, what's there's a term that they use for that.
Yes, and you're right. He had committed to go.
Rutgers,
and then he revoked
and
the letter. Yeah.
Which,
yep.
Really, for him, you wonder if he'd played for Rutgers, if he'd even...
Right. And that's the problem with the NCAA. You have premier programs, but on the other hand, they earn that. They pay for the facilities. They hire the coaches. They have commitment to these kids and to the program, and they reap the benefits of that. And they ride a reputation that allows them to attract good kids. And that's why I think bowl victories are important, because it helps in your recruiting, and it helps you to build the image of the program that you want to project to the rest of the country. Unfortunately, Rutgers has struggled to do that.
Well,
if they get Schiano and give him what he wants, I believe Greg Schiano will rebuild, restore it to where he had it a couple of years ago. I really do think so.
I don't like Greg, so that's another story, but it has to do
with... He's a tough kid.
Personal.
Tough guy.
But, you know...
So, folks, let's go over our picks again in the final minute here. We're taking the Eagles over the Seahawks in a squeaker.
Well, I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I don't tell my grandkids. I just don't think that the Eagles are going to be able to do it. And yet I'm hoping that they will, because I've got two grandkids who will be...
I'm hoping they will, because I've got money on them.
Prediction of the final score, Pat.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's move on to the other games quick. Are we in a consensus that the Texans will probably beat Buffalo?
Well, if J.J. Watt plays, yes.
Okay. What about Packers? Vikings and Saints.
New Orleans.
I think we got New Orleans. And then the big game, the Titans at the Patriots.
I think the Saints beat the Vikings.
The Titans and the Patriots.
I think the Patriots win.
I think they steal the game, but we shall see. And we'll be here next week to report and analyze the division games and see where we're going.
It's a great time for football. Finally, the good.
This is the, I guess, the I still think next weekend's the better weekend. You're still getting
the
four
division
games, but you're getting the division winners, all the division winners next week.
Right.
So.
And it's great. It's a great time of year. We've got all kinds of hot and cold running football all weekend. There's going to be anybody who is out of the house at a store or someplace else, you know they hate football.
Well, I have to say it's a good thing that your Eagles were in such a soft division this year because if that wasn't the way they picked the division.
I think they are a long shot, but to their credit, overcame a lot of injuries. And if I'm saying that, that has to be a truism.
The Giants went on to win a Super Bowl when they were
9-7. One of their most recent Super Bowls, they were 9-7.
So did the Packers.
Yep.
Right. They were.
There's been, I think, three Super Bowl winners who were 9-7. So it is capable, folks, of being done.
Well, if you're trying to butter me up, you have. But what I can tell you is, nobody really
Bob
knows
the
gathering of evangelicals in Miami on Friday. The president is also launching an Evangelicals for Trump initiative ahead of this year's presidential election. Evangelicals do make up a significant part of President Trump's conservative base. Former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro announced on Thursday that he's ending his campaign for president. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
In a rare and candid interview, Jeopardy! Host Alex Trebek is opening up about what it's like to have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Trebek was diagnosed with the aggressive cancer in March and has been undergoing chemotherapy treatment since then.
Most of us have open-ended lives. We don't know when we're going to die. Because of the cancer diagnosis, it's no longer an open-ended life. It's a closed-end life because of the terrible statistics, survival rates for pancreatic cancer. And because of that and something else that is operating here, people all over America and abroad, most of us have open-ended lives. We don't know when we're going to die. Because of the cancer diagnosis, it's no longer an open-ended life, it's a closed-end life because of the terrible statistics, survival rates